Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to continue our mini-series, if you will, on talking about money, relationships, getting your financial house in order, along with your relationship house in order. So, you know, I tie a lot of things into finance that, you know, I'll stretch a long way to get something that I think is interesting that we can talk about that relates to finances. But this topic of relationships and money is real close, and there's not a lot of stretching to do. Now, I'm really excited for this program because I'm bringing back a guest, and you know the story, right? Whenever I bring back a guest, you know they're good. And Terry Savage is no exception. In fact, she's the example of a great guest. Terry joins me. She is on the line. Terry, welcome back.
I am so delighted to be back with you.
It's super good to have you. Super good. And Terry is, if you don't know Terry Savage, she is a columnist. She has done a lot of writing and a lot of work in the trenches, as they say. And she's got a new book she's co-authored with two other women that is just making the rounds. It's the talk of the town, being picked up by a lot of good publicity. So Terry was kind enough to reach out to us and talk about it. The New Love Deal, Everything You Must Know Before Marrying, Moving On. Well, marrying, moving in, and moving on. Move in, and hopefully you don't have to move on.
We are excited about this book, David. This is interesting. You know, I've written The Savage Truth on Money, and
sure,
that's my brand, and I've been writing my syndicated column for a long, long time now. But two good friends of mine and I got together. One is a divorce attorney of the highest regard. If you're watching this or listening to this, I should say, go to thenewlovedeal.com, and you can see who we are. We are three terrific women, one a divorce attorney. She gives the view from the bar. That's my friend Gemma Allen. The other, Judge Michelle Lawrence, 20 years as a judge in the Domestic Relations Court in Cook County, which is Chicago, Illinois, another longtime friend. That's a view from the bench. The view from the bar, the view from the bench, and I am the view from the bottom line. And together, we share this one belief, which is that people talk about everything when it comes to romance. They plan their weddings. They discuss their destination wedding and what the bridesmaid will wear. They really are afraid to talk about the subject that could really destroy their relationship, and that is money.
Why?
Because,
why won't they talk about it, Terry? Because that's the number one reason for problems.
There's this myth that if you talk about something serious like money, you are destroying the romance that we all want to have, the happily ever after vision, where you merge your lives together and you live together happily on a cloud, and there is no reality that intrudes things that are finances related. That's just why it's called the New Love Deal. It's different than when our parents got married, maybe, and they planned to live together happily ever after. Reality has intruded, and it's time to talk about the New Love Deal. Time to talk about it because we come to marriage maybe at a later age with jobs, with incomes, with assets, with liabilities, everything from student loans to child support to spousal support for an ex. And we really need to bring this out in the open. We believe it is the essence of romance to be able to talk openly and honestly, not only about money specifics, but about your own emotional fears, your emotional attitudes toward money, so you can make your relationship work, whether you're living together or marrying.
Well, and that's really one of the things that struck me about the book that you've written, Terry, with your co-authors, is that you're not just talking about, you know, you talked about some of the traditional ways that marriage is started along with finances, but we've got, we have same-sex marriages, we have cohabitation, we've got a whole range of things that really forces a conversation. It makes it even more important because if we didn't want to talk about it before, we certainly don't want to talk about it now, right, with some of these new arrangements. And so
we cover all of that in the book.
Well, I'm glad you have, because it's hard.
Same-sex marriage is where we have a website, thenewlovedeal.com, because it's a constantly changing, moving target for same-sex couples. Whether you, by the way, believe that should be the case, whether you're my grandma who wouldn't imagine moving in with someone before you were officially married, dear, it doesn't matter. This is what's happening today. The law in many states allows same-sex marriage. It's a constantly changing thing. The reality is that so many couples cohabitate, and that doesn't always lead. In fact, about the same amount of time that marriages break up percentage, cohabiting couples break up. So the issues are very real. What happens if you just moved in together, but it's his condo, but you've contributed to the monthly amount that you pay for all your expenses? He gets the increased value in the condo, and you get some, the old towels and sheets to show for this relationship after 3 years when it doesn't work out?
Yeah.
That's not a good way to live together. And certainly in marriage, there's so many issues about how you're going to handle expenses, savings goals, and obligations, as I said, like child support or student loans.
Well, Terry, speak to this. You mentioned with the cohabitation. I know this is one of the subjects you talk about in your book, is the idea, which I just never really thought about it, but it makes a lot of sense, is the cohabitation agreement.
Look, when you make a prenuptial agreement before marriage, there are certain rules and requirements to make it legal. A prenup, you have to be represented separately by two attorneys. You have to fully disclose all your assets and liabilities, and it will be litigated if ever required. It should be just the structure for not only living together, but breaking things apart if necessary. And if it gets litigated down the road, it comes up in your state's domestic relations or marital relations, family court. But if you're just living together, you don't have the benefit of a lot of laws that relate to marriage. And so what you're doing is making a civil agreement, a business deal, just as if you agreed to purchase a half of a business or all of a business. It's a civil deal. So you can or cannot be represented by an attorney. You can have one attorney draw this up. But you need to understand what goes into this and what your rights are. Basically, it's just a civil agreement. And if you decide not to have an agreement, then down the road, if you're unwilling to think about making an agreement now when you're most in love and you really want to live together, tell me what it's going to look like when you both go to court in front of a judge who's very busy with other litigation matters and thinks living together people, who cares, they didn't bother to get married. And then you have the issue of, what about equity in the condo?
Right.
What about your credit report and your credit rating if you haven't found out that your partner is a deadbeat and you've signed on the line for the rent? There are all kinds of issues that come up. So a cohabitation agreement is something to take very seriously. Who's going to pay for the insurance, even if it's just renter's insurance?
Exactly.
And if your name isn't on the lease, you're a guest. You may not be covered by his or her renter's insurance.
So I'm going to put you in the category, Terry, of being in favor of the prenup and the cohabitation agreement. Some people, you know, you mentioned this earlier before when we started, that some people seem to be against it. In fact, I've had had people come on and I've talked to them on the radio, and some people feel like it is kind of dampen the relationship. But your take is it can strengthen it.
Let me tell you this first of all. I have felt this way forever and ever. And my son is grown up and married now, but when he was in his teens, I said to him frequently, and my godson, who just graduated from college, has heard this drill as well. When you get married, you will have a prenup. I'm telling you this now at age 16 or 17, so you'll know it's not about the girl you choose. This is about being sensible, because I expect you to be successful. I expect you to pick someone who is equally smart, intelligent, and successful in her own right, and this is something you should do. And the reason we wrote the new love deal is not just to say to you, well, you must have a prenup or a cohabitation agreement, here's the law. We spend a lot of time. Judge Laurent wrote the book, The Good Karma Divorce. She is a true believer in communication and setting the stage. So the book is on Amazon.com, The New Love Deal. It costs about $14. We turned down a publisher who wanted to print it very expensively in paperback. And we said that the most important thing is that you have the right setting for this relationship, to this discussion to take place. That you absolutely need to know how to treat your partner with respect, how to set the stage. And the book is the go-to guide. So you sit down and say, can we read this chapter together? We hope parents will give this to their adult children who are thinking of getting married, or that one of the parties who's moving in will say, you know, let's sit down and go through this. Talk about how to recognize signs in your partner. Look, there are only two kinds of people in the world, savers and spenders. And for better or for worse, they tend to fall in love with each other. So inherently, you have potential conflicts.
Fair enough. There it is right there, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Savage telling us about the new love deal. That's the website. And we're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back, and I've got more to ask Terry about, so stay right there.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
So we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with Terry Savage, and she is excited, wound up. I am too. I'm glad to hear about the new love deal, everything you must know before marrying, moving in, or moving on. And Terry, before the break, I know we talked about the prenup and the importance of that, and you know, the importance of this conversation, which statistically, you know, money is very often the reason or part of the reason for divorce. Listeners are hearing us talk about it. They get it's important. They read the book. They'll really understand it more fully. But for a lot of people, it's taking that next step. And obviously, if we're going to start talking about agreements and getting things put together, how do they go about finding the right person for them to have that kind of legal counsel they're going to need to put these things in place? Because I'm not going to pick these up at the office supply store. This is something that needs to be drafted by an attorney.
Exactly. So let me go back a step. If you say you understand that this would be a good idea intellectually, you both need to get involved emotionally. There are two chapters in here, one written by both written actually by our judge, Michelle Lawrence, the judge's view of sharing. And it starts out with, you might wonder what I'm thinking when I'm sitting on the bench in my black robe, gavel at the ready, about to rule on your petition for dissolution, support, or child custody. Likely, she says, I'm wondering where you started out and whether you ever considered it might end like this. And there is a whole chapter about how you have this discussion first, before you go to the lawyers, about how to communicate, how to solidify trust, how to learn how to listen to your partner and be aware of your partner's feedback and come to some kind of agreement. This is a kind of advice on discussing things that will hold you in good stead throughout your entire marriage. Only when you go through our checklist of things to discuss, things that might be in a prenup, only when you've had these kinds of discussions do you then seek out an attorney. And we have resources. They're typically divorce attorneys that do prenups. But what makes a great divorce attorney the ability to win for you at all costs is not necessarily what makes the best attorney to come up and help you do your prenup without causing trouble, without stirring up the pot, so to speak. We also talk about mediation. So that can be done in advance. So you can each go to your own separate attorney and say, look, we've fully disclosed. Here's everything I own and owe. We've come to agreement on these points. And then you have to manage the process so that your attorney doesn't try and stir up conflict. It takes a different set of skills to do a prenup than to do a divorce.
Well, here's the big question, Terry, because this is the one that everybody wants. How and where, when do you have the conversation about asking for the prenup if you're the person that wants the prenup?
Well, first of all, you should both want the prenup. The thing, you know, where it was the rich old guy and the beautiful young honey and she had to sign away her rights, that's just history. Today we've got two people who have careers and jobs and assets and so forth that they want to keep perhaps separate or want to make a plan for how they will work together during their marriage to contribute to the household expenses but keep their own money on the side or in retirement accounts. So the how to ask question is, I'm serious about this. I'm not trying to sell the new love deal book so much as I am to put it in your hand and say, hold this out, and this is how you ask. Now, look, you can go cold turkey. You don't want to do it in a graceful way, like go through the book and follow our checklist of the things to discuss, your emotional things like whether money fears come because of your childhood experiences or your last breakup or whatever. We guide you through it gently, but if you want to go cold turkey, I'll give you the recipe. Sit down this weekend, buy a nice bottle of cold white wine, sit down at the computer with your true love, and each go online and pull your credit report and then exchange them. Okay?
All right.
Your credit report doesn't show everything you own, but it does show your payment habits, your debts, and so forth. Are you willing to be that open? That's a cold turkey way to start. That's my favorite way to do it, but if you really want to walk delicately into this pool, up to your ankles and up to your knees and up to your thighs and get used to the water, follow the steps outlined in the book to have the discussion, to set the stage, to know and respect each other's concerns, to ask about each other's fears before you ever get into, so honey, you make more than I do. Why don't you put in twice as much in the household account each month, and I'll put in half as much. Or, honey, we make the same amount. Let's put all our money together in the household account. And someone gets upset and says, I don't want him knowing when I buy a new pair of shoes.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? That's one of the things I think with the conversation, Terry, is that people can get a sense for how they each, you know, kind of gauging that money personality and understanding where they're coming from, you know, because that's so much of it.
You can't change yourself at this stage in life, and you surely can't change the person you love. But you can set up systems that make things automatic. You can pay bills automatically. You can decide to each deposit your paycheck into your account and have an automatic monthly transfer to the joint household account, which automatically pays the rent and automatically pays the electricity, and maybe you each pay your own cell phone out of your own money and your own personal credit card, but you have a debit card on your household account. And you can also decide that every month out of your personal account, you're going to have X taken to a money market fund until you have so much money, it'll be used for a vacation or the down payment on a house. These are all issues. And what about the child support one of you is paying? Do you subtract that first and say, well, Joe really makes $60,000 a year, less $10,000 for the child support, so now we'll divide it?
Yeah.
You got to talk about it.
Yeah, because if you don't, it's going to be a problem later.
Sure, people build up resentment, and resentments then turn into power struggles, and then you've got all kinds of conflicts that don't have to happen if you openly discuss and make a plan and set up a system.
Well, and the system is what's required, because people, if you try to do it all seat of your pants, you really set yourself up for failure.
You need a system that's flexible enough so that when things change, someone's having a baby, someone's staying home, it's not always the woman anymore who stays home. How do you deal with that? How do you make sure the person who's being the child-rearing person also still has a contribution to his or her individual retirement account? You don't want to miss out on those years of tax-deferred growth for an IRA. What about life insurance? What about the person who's dependent, more dependent because of children? What about taking out life insurance, and how much is enough? And by the way, I'm talking as if we're only just 20-somethings getting married or moving in. But what happens when you're in your 40s or 50s and you've got teenage children from a previous marriage and you've got obligations like child support? Or let's give it to you better. You find love again at 60 or 70 even, and now you have children who are adults. And they go, gee, we really want Dad to be happy, but this woman's a gold digger. And what's going to happen if they move in? And then they move into her house, and Dad sells the house that we grew up in, and what happens to that money?
Yeah.
We have all kinds of strategies, life insurance policies that children can own, so that they can get the money when Dad dies and don't have to wait till happy stepmother passes on. But, you know, your kids have legitimate concerns, and
sure.
So do you as an adult.
Well, let me ask you this, Terry. What do you say to somebody who, you know, because you share all this, and it makes a lot of sense, and somebody says, but golly, that seems all so cold and calculating and mechanical or institutional. And if you love me, you just let it all be what it is. And we're in it together, come thick or thin, ups and downs, for better or for worse. What do you say to that?
I'm not saying it's not for better or for worse, but I am saying that blind love, blind ambition, and blind anything are not the way to be successful in life today. It's wonderful to find someone you can trust and love and respect and feel confident that he or she cares about you. This kind of a discussion is a natural outgrowth of that kind of trust and respect that are essential to any relationship. And the new love deal is an effort to say it is a different time. We come to it with different financial assets and responsibilities than the 20-year-olds that got married in the 40s or 50s. And we're recognizing reality, and we know that if you're two adults who love, respect, and trust each other, that you will want to do this for each other. This is a gift, not a demand.
I like that. That's a good way to put it.
This is truly something that will benefit both of you. And then if you just want me to be nasty about it, let me say that I'm very superstitious. I've always been that way about things like life insurance and having your will done and so forth. I'm superstitious that if you don't plan in this way, you will be tempting fate to present you with financial problems. But if you discuss it and you're on the same page, or at least you've come to agreement about how you'll handle these issues, then you're giving yourself and your relationship
Excellent.
A much better chance of success.
T- Terry Savage, ladies and gentlemen. She is a co-author and talking to us today about the new love deal. Quick break. We'll come back and we're going to talk about recalibrating an existing marriage or relationship. Stay right there.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Terry Savage on the line with me, returning guest, the new love deal, everything you must know before marrying, moving in, or moving on. And, you know, one of the topics I know that you you address, Terry, in the book and is an important subject. We talked about, of course, pre and before marriage, but you also address recalibrating an existing marriage. I don't know if I really, I don't know. My wife might want to recalibrate me. So, what is that?
If it's working, I'm not suggesting you change it. Look, but many people who are already married or in a relationship would like to use some of the strategies we have for guaranteeing that children are taken care of, or older people, that they have long-term care insurance, for instance, to cover the cost that would destroy an estate and so forth. Look, when you're talking about a prenup, you're talking about three kinds of issues. The stuff you had before the marriage. Are you going to keep it separate? And you can do that. That can be part of your agreement. The stuff you acquire together, financially speaking, and the plans for dealing with the money and the stuff during your marriage. So, yes, we're each going to have IRAs, and we're going to both promise to contribute, and we're going to build equity in a home, and so forth. How are you going to deal with that? And then, of course, the most significant thing about a prenup is, and if it doesn't work, here's how we agree to divide it up. The assets that we have, the things we kept separate, are separate and outside of our prenup and outside of our marital property, and you need a lawyer from your state to determine how to keep separate, and then how to divide up the stuff you get together and what kind of support ongoing will be. The court always has jurisdiction over children. So in a prenup, it's what do we have now, what do we build together, and if it doesn't work, how do we divide it up? Now, if you're already married and happily married, you don't have to read the chapter called A Postscript on Postnup. But some things happen in life that might change your prenup that you have. Mm. For instance, someone might have an illness that, you know, it makes it impossible for them to work. It might mess up your prenup. An inheritance, suppose grandma dies and leaves Susie $250,000. It's not part of the marital property in any state as long as she keeps it separate.
Right.
But in fact, she has to keep it separate. If she uses the money to put into the mortgage, then that becomes marital property. And what happens if suddenly there's an obligation that arises on the part of one or the other to support parents? Better they should get together and buy long-term care insurance for each of their in-laws so they don't have that burden. So we have some discussion on what happens if things change. You might want to adjust the prenup, or you might want to have created a prenup that sort of vests over the year so that property is transferred in a logical way, or ownership in a property is transferred in a logical way. Then we've got lawyers here, we've got a judge here, we've got a financial advisor here, all taking our own look at the best way to make your marriage or your relationship work. We're not trying to show you how to divide it up so much as how to keep it, put it together in an intelligent way, work it together, and then give yourselves the best chance of keeping it together.
I'm sure I have listeners thinking this very question. With the postnup, can people actually do that? And after they're married, say, okay, here, we're going to make these agreements?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And the same things apply in a postnup. You need full disclosure. Right. By that time, you probably have it. You need to be separately represented. This is not some woman who's now become CEO of the corporation telling her husband, now you will grovel because, Joe, you're still the plumber and da-da-da-da-da. They need to be separately represented. There can't be any duress. And the laws of the state apply, but sure, lots of people create postnuptial agreements when things change. Maybe it's to rip up the prenup.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Maybe it's to enhance it.
Yeah, because things can change, and if the circumstances are different, maybe they don't. Maybe it's different. Maybe the things that they went into with it, especially as you mentioned, Terry, the inheritance or just other factors. And that's really even, I guess, right up there with the prenup in terms of saying, look, our situation's changed. We need to revisit this and have the conversation. And,
but the thing is, we're not trying to start a legal battle. You are so right, David. The conversation, the ability to talk, the ability to say, you know, I'm really feeling a little uncomfortable. I agreed to no support if something broke up, but now I haven't been working for 10 years.
Exactly.
And you've become CEO of the company. That the fact that you have these hidden concerns, hidden worries, hidden financial insecurities, whether they're real or they're really in your mind, and those both are valid, these are the kinds of things you should always be open to discussing. We literally want to take you by the hand, the legal hand, the judicial fairness hand, and the financial smart hand, and say, think about this. If people put as much time and thought into their planning for their marriage, the way they will live their lives, as they do for planning for the wedding, then we feel that there would be much longer relationships, much happier relationships.
You know, it's funny, Terry, I had a guest on not long ago. We talked about wedding planning, and it makes me laugh that people hire a wedding planner, but they may not hire the financial planner.
Exactly. And that is a very good point. This is where you come in.
Yeah.
Because we also talk about the fact that if there's a substantial amount of assets involved or children or families or obligations from previous relationships, you really should bring into play a financial planner.
Sure.
And an estate planner should be included after you've come to your deal to make sure you create a new estate plan, probably a revocable living trust.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Maybe some funded irrevocable life insurance trust to hold life insurance policies. So this becomes part of a total plan. It's just like you wouldn't plan your wedding at XYZ Hotel and then forget to hire a band or a disc jockey or forget about flowers till the day before. This is something that all goes together as part of a plan. And the plan starts when you realize this is for real. We're making plans to get married. We're making plans to buy a condo together or a house. We're making plans to move in together. You wouldn't plan the wedding without the flowers or the wedding cake or something like that. It's all part of your checklist.
Terry Savage, ladies and gentlemen, she is a co-author of The New Love Deal, Everything You Must Know Before Marrying, Moving In, or Moving On. Terry, thank you so much for being on the program.
I'm delighted to be with you, David, and look forward to doing it again sometime.
All right. Thank you so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.